the words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 16, verses 11 to verse 15. It is page 215 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Amen. Paul's party sailed from Troas at the Asian continent, crossed the Aegean Sea, and landed at Neapolis, at the European continent. They went to Philippi, which was 14 kilometers away from the Neapolis and was a major city in Macedonia. On the first Sabbath day there, they went to a river outside the city to find a place of prayer. Now, when we say river, it is easy to imagine a great river like Han River that goes through Seoul City. But the river outside of the city gate of Philippi, where Paul went to pray 2,000 years ago, was a tributary of Gangetes River. And if we were to express it exactly in our language, it was a small stream. And verse 13 of today's text tells us what happened at this small stream. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. Now, at the stream where Paul's party visited, a few women happened to be gathered there. When you visit Philippi today, the place where Paul's party is said to have met the women of today's text 2,000 years ago is well preserved. There are poplar trees, and peaceful sound of the stream and the wind are like sweet sounds of praise. The place is perfect to think about spiritual matters. And Paul's party wouldn't have missed that wonderful opportunity. They sat down by the stream and Paul started to talk to them. Now, in Greek original, the verb spoke is recorded as the imperfect past tense, implying that Paul continued to talk, that he spoke, of course, means he spoke about the gospel. Now, Paul did not speak a few words to discuss the gospel. Paul explained about the birth, the life, the suffering, and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus to these women over a considerable amount of time in detail. The verse 14, one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. Among the women who were gathered at the stream, there was a woman named Lydia from Thyatira, a dealer in cloth. She was a woman who worshipped God. Here the meaning of the word worship means that a Gentile person believes in God but does not yet know Jesus, like the case of Cornelius of Caesarea. This person, Lydia, heard the gospel that Paul was preaching. The word heard in Greek original is also recorded as imperfect past tense, meaning that she continuously heard what Paul was saying. Paul did not introduce the gospel with just a few words, but explained it in detail over an extended period of time. Now, the women did not pay attention to this long sermon, but Lydia listened to every word of the gospel that Paul said from the beginning to the end. And how was this was possible for only Lydia? Let's take a look at verse 14. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Here the Lord referred to in the verse is the God of Holy Spirit, who was present at that place as a spirit and responded to Paul's message means to make her concentrate on Paul's message. The reason that Lydia was able to listen to everything that Paul was saying about the gospel was not due to her will or her efforts. It was due to the God of Holy Spirit moving her heart and allowing her to focus on the gospel being preached by Paul. As a result, as we will examine in more detail later, the Lydia and her whole family became baptized Christians, and Lydia's house became the start and the base of the well-known Philippi church. But on that day, Lydia was not the only woman present at the stream. Clearly, there were several women present at that place where Paul, having gone to Europe for the first time in his life, preached the gospel in the European continent for the first time. But among the women there, the God of Holy Spirit chose only one woman, Lydia, to receive the salvation which was achieved by the only Son of God, Jesus Christ, through the cross. That only Lydia, among these women who were gathered at the stream that day, received the gospel, and that the members of her family became baptized believers because of Lydia, and that her house became the start and the base for Philippi Church, which became well known. All these were due to the unilateral grace of the Holy Spirit. The more we think about this, it was truly a wondrous and incomparable grace. Now, the reason that Paul wanted to go on the second mission journey was to visit the cities that he had visited during his first mission journey. But because he parted from Barnabas right before the second mission journey, who had been his co-worker, Paul had to change the destinations of his second mission journey in a hurry. So he went up to today's Turkey and tried to preach the gospel in Asia, which was to the west of Turkey. But the Holy Spirit did not permit it. So Paul went up to Mysia, passing through Phrygia and Galatia, and go on to Bithynia to the east. But the Holy Spirit did not allow that either. So they had to go down to Troas, which was in the opposite direction to Bithynia. At that night, Paul saw a vision of the Macedonian men asking for help. Now, Paul's party acknowledged the vision as the command of God to preach the gospel to Macedonians, and went across to Macedonia, which was under the Roman rule. But they did not go to Thessalonica, which was the largest city and the administrative capital of Macedonia, but first went to Philippi. And then they happened to look for a place to pray on Sabbath, and Paul came to tell the gospel to women who were sitting by the stream outside the city gate. Among them, only one woman, Lydia, received the grace of salvation by the grace of the Holy Spirit. If one thing had gone different in Paul's travels itinerary, which started from Antioch of Syria, Lydia would not have received the grace of salvation by that stream. Therefore, that the Holy Spirit made Paul, who was in Antioch of Syria, to cross the seas and arrive at Philippi, which was in the European continent over a distance of 2,000 kilometers, was to save Lydia before any other person at that particular place. This is such a wondrous grace of salvation. Now, what is important is that the Holy Spirit, which is so wondrously worked to save Lydia, is the very God of Holy Spirit in whom we believe. Today is the Pentecost Sunday, which memorializes the coming of the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago. The God whom we believe in is the God of Trinity. After Jesus, the Son of God, who died on the cross as an offering to pay for our sins, rose again and ascended to heaven, the God of the Holy Spirit, which is at once the Spirit of the God the Father and the God the Holy Son, came to this earth. And God, the Holy Spirit, which came to us 2,000 years ago, does not exist only as a past record in the Acts, which were recorded 2,000 years ago. And the God, the Holy Spirit, is not for Lydia only, who received the wondrous grace of salvation in today's text. In the same way that the God of Holy Spirit enlisted Paul, who was far away in Syria of Antioch, to save Lydia of Philippi in his unfathomable way, the God of Holy Spirit saved each one of us in his mysterious way and is with us at all times and at all places. Now, the Holy Spirit is a spirit which cannot be seen with human eyes. Even if the Holy Spirit, who cannot be seen, is with us, how could we, who have finite bodies, know and confirm this fact? We will confirm the answer to this question through a testimony of one of our members. Hello, I am Lee Byung-seok of 105 District. I am 56 years of age, as of this year, and I'm a pilot for Asiana 747 jumbo jet. The reason I'm standing here is to testify about God who was with me on April 3rd, Tuesday. This February, my wife bought the 10-book series together with John, which Pastor Lee wrote and recommended that I read them. And so I started on the March 4th and read all of them by April 2nd. While I read together with John, I was touched by the Holy Spirit, and my thoughts and my life direction changed a lot. In the book, the pastor explained about the God who divided the Red Sea in the process of Exodus from Egypt, the God who made water to flow from a rock, and the God who gave manna from heaven. And the reason God made these events to happen was to make the people of Israelites understand that He is the only God who controls the sea, the land, and the sky. I had never thought about it that way, and it was a very refreshing kind of a shock for me to hear this. On April 3rd, the day after I had read all of the 10 books in the Together with John series, a flight to Osaka Kansai Airport was scheduled for 3:30 p.m. As I left the house in time for the flight, there was a strong wind and rain. The limousine bus I got on used the lower tier of the Yongjong Bridge due to the strong wind. I went to the Incheon Airport office concerned about the weather, and sure enough, there was an announcement that the hurricane was sweeping through Kansai Airport at the speed of 90 kilometers per hour, and that the flight would be delayed for an hour. And this was because it is not possible to fly a plane if the side wind is greater than 54 kilometers per hour when you land manually. An hour later, I began to prepare for the flight. The preparation included the inspection of the outside of the airplane. The wind was so strong that I had a hard time walking to the front of the plane. When I sat in my pilot seat after inspecting the outside of the plane was shaking so much that I felt like I was sitting on top of a tree on a very windy day. At the time, the wind measured a maximum of 63 kilometers. But the measurement included not only the side wind, but also the headwind, and was within the range of limited landing, so I thought I had to be careful when I land. But at 4:10 a.m., when the time for boarding came, I was told from the control tower that the flight to Kansai was canceled due to the windstorm at the airport. When I started the preparation for the flight, the side wind was at 54 kilometers, which would make landing possible. But the maximum wind speed at Kansai momentarily shot up to 88 kilometers, and the bridge that connected the airport to the city was closed due to the windstorm. I was happy to hear it personally because if the flight was canceled, I could attend a ninth class for the new believers. And actually, because of my flight schedules, it wasn't clear how many years it would take me to complete the new believers class. But a little later, I got the message that the windstorm could die down at Kansai, and we should wait an additional 20 minutes on the plane. And a little later, another message came that the weather was expected to improve, and the flight would take place after another 30 minutes delay at 5 p.m. The flight was delayed because the windstorm at Incheon and at Kansai, it was canceled, and I was back on again. And I thought to myself that this was not going to be just another flight, and that on a day like this, maybe it would be better to cancel the flight. But I had no choice, so proceeded to prepare for the flight and had the passengers board the plane and started the takeoff. The wind was so strong that although the plane had been on the runway for just a short time, it reached the speed for the takeoff. As the plane reached the flight altitude, the plane continuously shook because of the unstable weather conditions. But the flight continued to reach the altitude of 37,000 feet, about 11 kilometers into the air, and soon left Gangwon-do and the EC to enter Japan's airspace. During the flight, I kept thinking over and over as to how we should overcome the difficulties we would run into at landing, and decided that if the conditions permitted, I would use the automatic landing system to land. For your information, automatic landing is not possible if the side wind and the front wind is more than 45 kilometers. In case of a manual landing, the maximum permitted speed of side wind is 54 kilometers, and there is no tolerance limit on the front wind. I prayed in the pilot's cabin, saying, God, if you know my capabilities, I trust that the wind will die down and continue the flight. The reason I thought this way was because at the time I received the weather report, the wind speed was hovering around 40 kilometers, which was within the tolerance range, and so I had planned on using the automatic landing system. But when I actually neared the landing, the wind direction and the wind speed both picked up so that it went up to 54 kilometers. As I mentioned before, the current flight regulations provide for a lower wind tolerance limit for automatic landing than a manual landing. So I had to change my prayer to, Lord, I have to land the plane manually. You know my inadequacies, so please have mercy and help me. I prayed with all my heart. When I looked outside the sea around Kansai Airport, it was covered with white watery foams because the windstorm was so strong. The ships, which were usually many on the sea, had all gone somewhere, and the plane was shaking so much. When I thought that I was about to fly the plane manually in the once-in-a-lifetime bad weather condition, I could feel all of my muscles going to spasm. It wasn't only spasm, but I could feel the actual pain of the muscles. Could I land the plane in this worst weather condition? I really became scared and had to pray. As I prayed the words of Joshua 1, verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, came to my mind. I took hold of that word and continued to fly, although I was afraid and was trembling. I couldn't show how afraid I was to the student pilot who was sitting next to me, and the assistant pilot who was sitting behind me. If the captain was afraid, how much more afraid the assistant pilot and the student pilot would be, that they happened to be a flight for the training of the assistant pilot for a head pilot position. So the German assistant pilot sat behind me and the student pilot sat next to me in training. In any case, as we started to descend, I restrained my fear with prayers. I decided to trust God, who had always been with me, and that we would turn back to Incheon if the situation was too dangerous to land, and began the attempt at descent. As the plane descended using the automatic flight system facing the runway, the side wind was so strong that the plane kept going off 30 to 40 degrees from the direction of the runway. So I had to keep turning my head 30 to 40 degrees to keep my gaze on the runway. As we neared the runway, we switched from automatic to manual flight system. Even in my eyes, I was shaking so much. The plane shook severely because of the strong wind and kept getting off the course for the runway. And I kept modifying the course to face the runway, and I could feel my entire body becoming stiff with fear and tension. I had to continue praying. I kept praying to God who controlled the sea, the land, and the sky, and hoped for his help. As the plane settled in to the course for the runway, the plane and my heart settled down, and we landed safely in the most horrible weather condition in the midst of a severe windstorm. At the same time, the German assistant pilot kept praising me for executing such a wonderful landing. After getting the plane out of the runway somehow, and as we got on the road, I thanked God who had mercy on me with all of my heart. It was because the entire Kansai Airport had been closed due to the storm, had only been opened a minute before, and I was able to land the plane in the storm safely, protecting the life of 400 passengers with the help of God. The news I saw later said that four persons died and 400 people were hurt in the storm. I came home to Seoul after undertaking this difficult flight around 11:20 p.m. I went to bed at midnight. When I woke again and saw the clock, it was 4:20 a.m. I didn't have enough sleep, so I tried to sleep again, but I couldn't. So I had to get up and started to copy the Bible verse, as I usually do. It happened to be during the Holy Week, and a special morning prayer service being held at our church, and I saw the service live on the internet. The Bible verse from Pastor Lee's sermon on that day was Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. What was so amazing was that God was confirming the God's help that I had experienced overnight in my flight to Kansai through the words of the pastor's sermon that morning from the beginning to the end. I was with you when you're trembling because of the storm. I was with you even as you wanted desperately for the flight to be canceled. I was with you when you were doing the outer inspection of the plane in the wind that was strong enough to rip umbrellas apart. I was with you as the plane shook like an earthquake. And I became your shield when automatic landing became impossible in the worst possible weather. And I became your reward until the time you returned home safely after completing your flight mission. God was etching each of his message in my heart through the Pastor Lee sermon. I couldn't stop my tears. Yes. I can't help but praise God who is always with me in this way. I can't help but believe and depend on him. The pastor said this already, but it's not the case that you don't become afraid because you believe in God. Yes, you tremble. As you live, you become fearful at times. But what I can do is to remember God who is always with me and trust my life to him every time I run into difficulties. There will be difficulties in my life. But I am so grateful that I was able to lay yet another stepping stone to faith that would allow me to overcome them. Thank you. April 3rd, when Deacon Lee went on a flight to Osaka after many happenings, was a day on which the Japan suffered from a windstorm caused by sudden so-called bombshell fall in the air pressure and saw many casualties. On that day, the rail that connected the airport to the city and even some of the 30% of the rail that connected to the city became non-functional, and even some of the Shinkansen passages stopped operating. And as takeoff and landing became difficult, no less than 720 flights, including Japan Airlines and all Nippon Airways flights, were canceled. And as the storm cut off electric lines, electricity went out in various places. Mr. Lee was piloting the plane in this kind of bad weather. Now, if a sea captain who is the expert of the sea is afraid of a wave, wouldn't such wave be truly a terrifying wave? If a pilot who is the expert of the sky is so afraid of storm to the extent of his hands trembling, his body becoming stiff, wouldn't it be a terrifying storm? Deacon Lee, who was responsible for the lives of 400 or so passengers in the midst of such horrible storm, believed that God, believed and depended on the God who told him to be courageous. and believe in God, whom he came to understand as the only God who controls the land, the sea, and the sky, through the readings he finished the night before, was with him and was helping him. And the next day, when he returned safely from completing his mission in such bad conditions to Seoul, he confirmed yet again how God was with him and how he helped him in such bad weather conditions through the words of God declared during the morning prayer service. In this way, to Deacon Lee, the words of God is not just some reading or some knowledge, some information in his head. It was like a pair of eyeglasses that allow him to confirm the presence of the Holy Spirit who is with him. And because he had these glasses, the flight in the horrible weather became etched in his heart as a stepping stone of faith to tomorrow of more maturity. Even when I drink in despair alone, and endure hateful fear, and spend lonely nights, the God of Holy Spirit is with me. Even when I feel like I've been abandoned by the world, I'm alone in wilderness, the God of Holy Spirit is next to me. Even when I forget him and turn away from him, he still holds me in his embrace. And so, what is important for me is to put on the glasses the words of God with which I can see the God of the Holy Spirit. Today we can declare confidently that the life of Lydia, who was graced with salvation upon meeting Paul in today's text, is a bundle of miracles. It is so because we know in detail through the Acts how God, using his fathomless, mysterious ways, guided Paul, who was at Antioch of Syria, to that particular place, to the stream outside the city gate of Philippi, just for Lydia. Now let us put on the glasses of the words of God and reflect back on our lives. Aren't all of us like Lydia? In order for each of us to be standing here today, how many people and how many events did God cause to act in our lives? And how many times did the God of Holy Spirit divide a Red Sea before us? And how many miracles of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes that he caused in our lives? Can't we help but confess that each of our lives is a miracle in and of itself when we examine it with the glasses of God's words? We cannot help but praise him when we think of this. Let us all reflect on God's words and make it our glasses. Let us not, until our breathing stops, take off the glasses of words of God, and thereby let us live every day confirming that God, with his wondrous and detailed hands, is in control of our lives without an inch of mistake. And in doing so, let us entrust our lives to God. It is then that each and every day of our lives will be knitted together in miracles of God, and they will continue on the stepping stone of faith, and longer the path of this stepping stone, each of our lives will turn into a masterpiece of God that cannot be compared with any work of art in this world. Let us pray. Dear God, we can see Japanese and Chinese people with our eyes, but without an understanding of Japanese history and culture, it is impossible for us to have a true understanding of Japanese people. And without an understanding of the history and culture of China, it is not possible for us to understand their way of thinking in the right way. If we cannot correctly understand Japanese and Chinese people whom we can see with our eyes, without putting on the glasses of history and culture, what more can we say about the Spirit of God who cannot be seen with our eyes? Because the words of God, the Spirit, are the words of the Bible, help us to come to know the God of Trinity ever more deeply through the glasses of words. Through the glasses of God's words, allow us to see the God, the Holy Spirit, who is always with us. As the life of Lydia, who was graced with the mysterious grace of salvation, is made up of a bundle of miracle, may we also confirm, through the glasses of God's words, that our lives also are made up of mysterious miracles of God each and every day. Through the glasses of God's words, help us to behold the hands of God who works in detail and without an inch of error for our future from afar, today, at this hour. Through the glasses of the words of God, may the 365 days, 12 months, the year be the day of Pentecost, which responds to the God of Holy Spirit who is with us. Through the glasses of God's words, may our lives that are made up of stepping stones to God's kingdom turn into masterpieces of God for this age. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.